In Venezuela, at least 7 people have been killed and dozens injured in protests in the streets of the capital, Caracas. At least 150,000 people gathered near the presidential palace in the center of the city to demand the resignation of President Hugo Chavez. Phil Gunson is a freelance reporter in Caracas. He's on the phone. Phil, we've been hearing about gunfire in the streets. What can you tell us about what's happening?
Well, right now it seems to be a little calmer, at least as far as the demonstrations are concerned, although there have been pictures in the last few minutes of armored vehicles on the streets of Caracas, so everything is still very fluid. The deaths and injuries appear to have been caused by snipers, apparently from the government side, apparently from a roof of a building that's in the hands of government supporters, and also from the presidential guard. Another recent development is that 10 senior serving military officers, generals and admirals, have come out and called on the president and the high command to resign.
Is it known where President Chavez is now?
So far as we know, he's still in the presidential palace. I haven't heard anything to the contrary. The state broadcasting organization is continuing to run a speech that the president made live earlier today, but the precise whereabouts of the president are unclear. As far as I know, as I say, he's in the palace.
And you talked about snipers. Is there any other government response that you can tell us about?
Well, I spoke to somebody in the palace just a little while ago who told me that the version that they were being given there was that the killings had been carried out by the Metropolitan Police, which is in the hands of the opposition. That's certainly totally false from what I know. But the government hasn't made a statement that I'm aware of on the killings. The opposition, on the other hand, the CTV unions and the business organization that's been backing the general strike that's going on at the moment and which was behind the demonstration today, they're calling for a transitional government to be named.
Do you think there's a danger that the president could actually be ousted?
I think there's a very serious danger, yes. I think that it would appear that he's done precisely what he said he would never do, which is have his security forces fire on demonstrators in the street. And that's always been seen as something of a break point with the military, many of whom don't support the president. There's been a good deal of discontent within the ranks of the military in recent months and years, and this could well bring out more rebel military people and possibly see the president packing his bags.
Is it possible to synthesize what the dispute is all about?
Yes, it's complicated, but the heart of the dispute right now is over the state oil company, which the president has been attempting to take over for his own purposes, at least as far as the management of the oil company is concerned. Their slogan has been no to the politicization of PDVSA, which is the name of the company. That dispute, the oil industry, of course, is the main, it's the heart of the Venezuelan economy, and that dispute has, if you like, coalesced all the other existing disputes around it, and that's been what people have been demonstrating in particular about today. But of course, that transformed itself very rapidly into a call for the president's immediate resignation.
And very, very briefly, what are the chances that this is going to affect the United States, given that Venezuela is the third biggest supplier of oil?
Yes, obviously there's a worry about the oil supply. The oil industry is running only at half its capacity at best. The honest answer is we don't know. It will depend how long this crisis continues.
Phil, thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Reporter Phil Gunson speaking to us from Caracas, Venezuela.
Trade union and business leaders in Venezuela are extending a 2-day general strike indefinitely, a move which threatens to paralyze the economy of the world's fourth largest oil exporter. Earlier, a leading army general, Nestor Gonzalez, called on President Hugo Chavez to resign, the highest ranking officer to voice his opposition to the Venezuelan leader. From Caracas, Adam Easton reports.
Announcing the extension of the general strike, business leader Pedro Carmona said the government's failure to tackle the labor crisis has left the country in an extremely critical condition. The crisis is President Hugo Chavez's biggest challenge since he came to power 3 years ago. Thousands of Venezuelans have demonstrated in support of the strike in the capital, Caracas. Many are calling on Mr. Chavez, whose popularity has plummeted recently, to step down. Mr. Chavez says the general strike, which began on Tuesday, has been a failure. So far, it's been patchy at best. Public transport has continued to run, and some shops and banks have remained open.
Business leaders and trades unions in Venezuela have said they intend to continue a general strike there indefinitely. They're attempting to pressure President Hugo Chavez's government to address their labour demands and other national problems. Meanwhile, a further conflict between business and the government in Venezuela concerns a disputed gold and copper mine. The row has become so heated that the army has occupied the mine at Las Cristinas in the southeast of the country. It had been hoped that the mine would create jobs and turn this poor region of the country rich. However, 10 years later, the site, one of Latin America's biggest known gold deposits, still hasn't started commercial production. Instead, it's mired in litigation and recrimination. But Vanessa Ventures, the Canadian company which bought rights to develop the mine from Placerdome, refuses to pull out, despite the fact that its local mining partner, a government organisation called CVG, has made it clear that it doesn't want it there. Manfred Panchke is the president of Vanessa Ventures. My colleague Manuela Zaragoza asked him whether the root of the problem was that it bought the mine without informing the local partner.
Placerdome was in a bind. There was a deadline, and they had offered the mine to the CVG previously, but the CVG has never responded, and days went by until finally the deadline came and the deal between Vanessa and Placerdome was made. We informed...
Still, even from an outside point of view, though, it is quite unusual to take up a transaction like this and not inform a local partner, isn't it?
Vanessa couldn't make an announcement at all because Placerdome didn't sign the contract until the last day. And as soon as it was signed, we informed the CVG of the transaction.
So it's very clear the Venezuelans just don't want you there.
They either didn't like Placerdome as a company, or they had a deal made with somebody else that is unknown to us. But we have a legal commercial contract, and if you're in disagreement, there are steps that can be taken under the contract to solve those issues, but not by taking military action or just walking in and taking over.
Because your assets are there now, your mine there has been completely taken over, hasn't it?
Yes, it's currently in the hands of some military personnel, which is fine, but in the meantime, nobody else can operate it either. The last court ruling that we referred to in our news release, for instance, we had asked for constitutional protection. And the court says, well, you don't need it because you do have a commercial contract with the CVG that has clauses and protects you, and that one is in force. And this is exactly what the CVG hasn't recognized so far. A company like the CVG, which is a crown corporation, they have what they call administrative powers. But the court says they don't apply in this case because it's a commercial contract and the contract is valid.
Considering your experience now in Venezuela, what is your opinion about Venezuela as a place to invest in?
Well, it certainly doesn't sound so good on the surface. However, like I said before, we have operated in Latin America for many years. There are quite often difficulties, but they can be overcome. Venezuela, just like any other country, is full of large corporations, motor vehicle companies, Coca-Cola, you name them.
That was Manfred Preschke, the president of Vanessa Ventures.
The army in Venezuela says it's negotiating the resignation of President Hugo Chavez after further anti-government protests left several people dead. The army in Venezuela says it's negotiating the resignation of President Hugo Chavez following more anti-government protests which left several people dead. The head of the army, General Efraín Vázquez Velasco, said the defense minister had told him that Mr. Chavez wanted to resign. He said two generals had been sent to the presidential palace to meet Mr. Chavez. From Caracas, Adam Easton reports.
Although the news of Mr. Chavez's imminent resignation came in the early hours of the morning, the announcement was met with noisy celebrations and firecrackers in many parts of the capital, Caracas. General Vázquez said that Defense Minister José Vicente Rangel had told him that Mr. Chavez had wanted to resign during a televised interview. Mr. Chavez's decision comes after the majority of the armed forces withdrew their support from him. Earlier, General Vasquez declared himself in rebellion against Mr. Chavez. He said the deaths of 11 people at a massive anti-government rally outside the presidential palace was not tolerable.
The constitutional crisis in Venezuela could be about to claim the political career of the president. The armed forces say they're negotiating with Hugo Chavez to secure his resignation. With the latest, here's Mike Workman.
These latest developments came at the end of a day in which troops belonging to the National Guard clashed with opposition supporters. At least 11 people were killed and many more were wounded. It was too much for the head of the army.
Señor Presidente de la República, le fui leal hasta el final.
General Efraín Vázquez Velasco went on national television. He announced that while he had loyally served President Hugo Chavez in the past, these latest deaths could not be tolerated. A former Minister of the Interior, Luis Macalena, who was also once a Chavez supporter, also blamed the president for the violence.
Y para mí, el jefe del Estado es el principal responsable de lo que ha ocurrido hoy en la tarde de hoy en Venezuela.
He said he would be remembered as the head of state who would leave office with his hands tainted with blood. According to Alan Brewer, who is a constitutional expert at the Central University of Venezuela, these latest developments do not amount to a military coup.
All the main generals of the armed force, the aviation and the navy, they and also from the cooperation forces, National Guard, they have pronounced themselves publicly against the President Chavez. They have taken a position in favor of the people, in favor of democracy.
These developments came after the President had vowed to crush a general strike, supported by both business and trade unions over his attempts to extend control over the country's massive oil industry.
That was Mike Workman. You're listening to the BBC in London.
With the future of Venezuela's president, Hugo Chavez, increasingly in doubt, we look at what it means for the economy and the country's all-important oil industry. The army in Venezuela says it's negotiating the resignation of President Hugo Chavez after further anti-government protests left several people dead. So what would Mr. Chavez's departure mean for businesses and the economy there? A short while ago, I spoke to the BBC's correspondent in Caracas, Adam Easton.
The head of the army, General Efraín Vázquez, has appeared on television to say that he has been told by the defense minister, José Vicente Rangel, that Mr. Chavez indeed wants to resign. And the general said he had sent a group of generals to meet with the president to discuss the terms of his resignation. Meanwhile, the government is denying that Mr. Chavez has resigned at the moment. The uncertainty over Mr. Chavez's future and his role in the destabilization of the nation's oil industry will be of some concern to the market.
What does this uncertainty over Mr. Chavez actually mean for the strike, the national strike? Is it likely to continue?
If Mr. Chavez does somehow negotiate to stay in power, he would probably likely do so by agreeing to change the board of directors, reinstate the sacked company managers, and that would likely cause the oil industry to lift its strike and also cause the lifting of the general strike, which has been declared indefinitely by trade unions and business leaders.
Briefly, Venezuela is the world's fourth largest oil exporter. It's also a member of OPEC, the oil producers' cartel. What would Mr. Chavez's resignation mean for the oil industry in Venezuela, or indeed the world oil market?
If Mr. Chavez does indeed resign, we would expect to see in the coming hours the lifting of the oil strike. And it would take several days for the oil industry to get back to normal operations. One refinery has been closed down, others have slowed operations, tankers have not been loading, which has affected exports. So that would be a good sign that the oil industry would return to some form of normality.
Adam Easton in Caracas. And in developments in the past few minutes, our correspondent there is reporting that Mr. Chavez has indeed resigned. And crude oil prices had fallen as much as 2% in Asian trading overnight in expectation of Mr. Chavez's resignation. May delivery prices fell to $24.50 a barrel.
One other headline, Latin American countries have condemned the removal from power of the former Venezuelan president Hugo Chavez. They say they won't recognize the new provisional government. Details in our bulletin in 15 minutes.
Latin American countries have condemned the removal from office of the Venezuelan president Hugo Chavez. He handed in his resignation to military officers yesterday after 13 people were killed during anti-government demonstrations earlier in the week. 19 regional leaders meeting in Costa Rica have issued a statement saying that they are not ready to recognize the new government set up to replace Mr. Chavez. The business leader, Pedro Carmona, has been sworn in as president. Nick Miles is in Caracas.
It was a somber signing-in ceremony, with Mr. Carmona making numerous references to the people who lost their lives during Thursday's street violence. Mr. Carmona, a former oil executive, said that he was committed to bringing pluralist rule to Venezuela after what he called 3 years of authoritarian government under Hugo Chavez. Mr. Carmona said that the political stability that he and his new cabinet will bring to the country would usher in a new period of economic prosperity. He also called for a healing of the rift in Venezuelan society between the supporters and critics of former President Chavez, asking Venezuelans to move towards a period of national reconciliation.
You're listening to the news from the BBC in London.
The head of the new interim administration in Venezuela has promised there'll be democratic government within months, after military chiefs on Friday forced President Hugo Chavez from office. Other Latin American countries have condemned the armed forces' intervention and said they're not ready to recognize the new government. The man installed by the military, the prominent businessman Pedro Carmona, was sworn in as Venezuela's new president overnight. Nick Miles reports from Caracas.
It was a somber signing-in ceremony, with Mr. Carmona making numerous references to the people who lost their lives during Thursday's street violence. Mr. Carmona, a former oil executive, said that he was committed to bringing pluralist rule to Venezuela after what he called 3 years of authoritarian government under Hugo Chavez. Mr. Carmona said that the political stability that he and his new cabinet will bring to the country would usher in a new period of economic prosperity. He also called for a healing of the rift in Venezuelan society between the supporters and critics of former President Chavez, asking Venezuelans to move towards a period of national reconciliation.
You're listening to the news from the BBC. Foreign peacekeeping troops in the Afghan capital Kabul have come under fire again. Shots were fired at British soldiers, provoking a brief gunfight. Seven of the attackers were captured and handed over to the interim government. Most of them were wearing police uniforms. The most senior military officer in the United States has criticized European countries for what he says was their inability to contribute to America's military campaign against terrorism. Writing in the Journal of the British Royal United Services Institute, General Richard Myers, who's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, said few European countries had the military capabilities required to contribute on the battlefield as full partners. He said the operation in Afghanistan had shown the military gap between Europe and America had continued to widen, and that Europe had ignored messages from Washington and NATO about the need to change and spend more on defence. The United Nations Commissioner for Refugees, Ruud Lubbers, has arrived in Iran at the start of a three-nation tour to assess UN initiatives to help some 4 million Afghan refugees wishing to return home. In Pakistan, where the initiative was launched 6 weeks ago, more than 250,000 Afghans have returned to their homes. A similar operation began this week.
BBC World Service, welcome to World Briefing with David Legg. The headlines at 7 hours GMT. The interim president in Venezuela, Pedro Carmona, has resigned, and the man he replaced last week, Hugo Chavez, is back in the presidential palace.
BBC News with Zainab Ahmed. News just in on Venezuela. We've just heard that Hugo Chavez has arrived back at the presidential palace. He's expected to be sworn back into office within the next hour. Mr. Chavez was removed as president of Venezuela by the military on Thursday. From the Venezuelan capital, Caracas, Nick Miles reports.
After a whirlwind of political changes, Venezuela is soon to be back where it started, with the populist Hugo Chavez as head of state. Mr. Chavez was forced from office on Friday after months of protests at what many sectors of society saw as his authoritarian style of leadership. The presidency was taken up by Pedro Carmona, the head of the country's main business group, but he angered many of his allies by immediately dissolving the country's parliament and appointing a cabinet seen by many as only serving Venezuela's elite. Hugo Chavez's former deputy, Diosdado Cabello, briefly picked up the presidential baton before Mr. Chavez's return. Hugo Chavez will face the prospect of leading a deeply divided country. Not a natural compromiser, he'll have to learn the art of political flexibility if he's to avoid further challenges to his presidency in the future.
Venezuela now has its third leader in as many days. He's Diosdado Cabello, a supporter of Hugo Chavez, who was removed from power by the military on Thursday. Mr. Chavez himself has returned to the capital, Caracas, and is preparing to resume his duties. Just before Mr. Chavez returned to the presidential palace, one of his supporters there, Giorgio Giordani, spoke to the BBC. He said he and his colleagues had received a fax from Mr. Chavez denying claims made by senior members of the military that he'd resigned.
To the Venezuelan population and to whom I concern, I, Hugo Chavez Frias, Venezuelan president of the Bolivarian Republic of Venezuela, declare I have not renounced to the legitimate power that the people gave to me forever, Hugo Chavez Frias. This is a fat hand signed by the president and was signed in the naval place of Turiamo in Venezuela, in which he was held in prison.
Our correspondent Maurice Walsh has this assessment of events in Venezuela.
The untold story of the extraordinary events in Venezuela over the past 48 hours is the dramatically changing role of the Venezuelan military. It was the generals who removed Hugo Chavez from the presidential palace in Caracas on Thursday, and it was the generals who forced the resignation of the man they had appointed to replace him. Those who thought they had deposed Mr. Chavez last Thursday appear to have miscalculated the strength of opposition towards him. When gunmen supporting Mr. Chavez opened fire on the huge demonstration against his government on Thursday, leaving at least 15 people dead, Mr. Chavez's opponents thought that the last shreds of his credibility had been compromised. They probably assumed that the brutality of the response to the demonstrators would even have alienated his core supporters in the poor neighbourhoods of Caracas. But the pro-Chavez protests on the streets of the capital suggest otherwise. Thousands of poor Venezuelans who put their faith in Mr. Chavez's populist message are prepared to resist what they see as the restoration to power of the business class he'd antagonized relentlessly. The new administration had also struggled to win acceptance internationally. Its Latin American neighbours were concerned that Mr. Chavez's removal looked too much like an old-fashioned coup.
The former Venezuelan president Hugo Chavez has returned to the presidential palace in the capital Caracas. He's expected to be sworn back into office shortly after the collapse of the administration appointed to replace him. Mr. Chavez was ousted from power on Friday after months of protests at what many Venezuelans saw as his socially divisive economic policies.